Welcome to House of God on this Sunday, the 17th of February. Hallelujah. Welcome to House of God. And today, we're looking at the topic, forgiveness. We're looking at the topic, forgiveness. So look at your neighbor, say, forgiveness. Smile at them and say, forgiveness. One more time, smile at them and say, forgiveness. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. So please turn with me in your Bible to Matthew 6, 10 to 15. You can't have 10 to 8, obviously. That would be in reverse. So Matthew 6, verse 10 to 15. That's going to be our text for today. Matthew 6, 10 to 15. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is thy kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Let us bow down our heads as we read. Please bow down your head as you read, as we pray rather. Father, we want to thank you for your words that we have heard this morning. And you've given us the topic, forgiveness. We're praying, Lord Jesus, that you will help us to gain and glean something wonderful from today's message. Lord, you said if we want you to forgive us our trespasses, then we must put ourselves in a place where we forgive others their trespasses so that we can have freedom and healing and liberty. And we thank you for what you have already started, even from the worship time, oh God. You have started it. I pray that the healing process will continue. And that, Lord, you will help us to release the nacre of forgiveness. Thank you, everlasting Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, we have prayed.
Amen.
Amen. There's a book I'm reading. I think it's called From Pain to Pearl. I think that's the topic. And it was talking, it gives the illustration of an oyster. How many people know what an oyster is? How many people have eaten an oyster before?
Yeah.
It's a delicacy. Not that I know why anybody likes it. So, I don't know. I think, maybe you need deliverance. Because people eat the oyster as if it's some... And look at what can be the ugliest, the slimiest, the most horrible looking thing, and people say it's a delicacy. It's even expensive. So, but did you know that there's a jewelry that we women like? Who can tell me this particular jewelry that we all like?
Pearls.
Do you know where pearls come from? They come from oyster. So the pearls that you and I wear, and we go and spend maybe £200, £300 to get, is actually grown inside an oyster. But does anybody know how that happens? Now, the oyster is a very slimy, delicate, small creature. So every now and then, sand, dust, impediments enter into the oyster. Now, the oyster needs to do something about those little things that come inside. Because if it doesn't, because it's very delicate, the little stone, the little pebble would destroy the oyster. Everybody, make sure you listen to me, I'm going to tell you this. The little pebbles, the little things, they will go inside the oyster and they will eat up and destroy that oyster. So you know what the oyster does? They release something they call nacre. So maybe those who are this time, help me spell it on the screen. It's called N-A-C-R-E. And just read it on the screen. It's called nacre. So anytime there's a little stone, or a little dust, or a little something that's not supposed to be there, something, the oyster will release a nacre. N-A-C-R-E.
And he will release, and he will keep releasing it, keep releasing it, keep releasing it, until whatever sharp edges, that stone, that pebble, or whatever that thing may be, until it is rolled over. And that is how you get the pearl. So the oyster uses something that could easily have destroyed it to now produce something that you and I are going to buy. So today, I am going to talk about the maker of forgiveness. I will spell it again, N-A-C-R-E, the maker of forgiveness. Someone has hurt you. Someone has pained you. Someone has done something that robbed you of the wrong way. It has put a stone within you. Now, that stone, that rock, that pebble, that impediment inside you, you can allow it to eat you up. Or you can release the maker of forgiveness and you keep rolling around it. Another day on top of it, another day on top of it, until very soon you no longer feel the sharp edges of the pain that has been done you. And that is going to be my appeal to us today as we look at the topic forgiveness. Forgiveness is the mechanism whereby we say, it's not okay what you've done, but the judgment of your behavior belongs to God and not to me. That's what we are saying when we forgive. That what you did is not okay. What you did to me to pain me, it's not fine. But I'm going to leave that judgment to God. Because anytime I refuse to forgive you, I am taking the judgment into my hand. But when I release forgiveness to you, that means I have handed judgment over to God, the one who is the only fair judge of humankind. So forgiveness is our mechanism of saying, I know what you did isn't right, but you know what? I'm going to let it go. And let God be the one that can deal with this matter. When we refuse to forgive, the level of damage we sustain is not dependent on the severity of the offense, but is dependent on how we respond to the offense. So somebody wrongs me. Maybe they stole my car. The level of pain I am going to go through is how I respond to it. If I respond with bitterness and anger and resentment and unforgiveness, that is what is going to determine my pain level. If I say, you know what, it's just a car, the car is gone, don't worry, God will bless you with another car. Can you see how I've turned the whole thing around? The offense was still there, it is as real as ever. But I've made up my mind that, you know what, I am going to build a maker around it, just like the oyster. And I'm going to produce pearls from my pain. Now, today I want to talk about some misconceptions about forgiveness. So look at your neighbor. Say misconceptions. Please help me type the word misconceptions on the screen. Misconceptions, or if you like, some lies that we have been told about forgiveness. I want to talk about them. Number one, if I forgive, won't it feel like I am condoning what happened? So the people that are piping at their back, you have a lot of work to do. If I forgive, won't it feel like I am condoning it? So someone does something wrong, if I forgive them, am I not rubber stamping what I do? No, you are not. Forgiveness is not about those who hurt you. It is about you. If you pretend to forgive, maybe someone comes to you and they say,
"Have you forgiven? Yeah, I have forgiven you." But deep down in your heart, you haven't forgiven them. You're only delaying the healing process.
If you pretend to forgive, you're only delaying the healing process. Forgiveness is not about the other person, it's about you. Forgiveness fully accepts and acknowledges
the hurt and the pain caused. It does not belittle it, and it does not justify the action of the person who has hurt you. It is just simply saying, I know there is a debt you owe me, but I am going to hand that debt back to God. So when somebody offends you, they owe you something. There is a debt. They have done you an injustice. When you forgive them, what are you doing? You are handing over that debt back to God. You are handing it back to God and saying, God, I have let go of my right to hurt, my right to pain. I am letting go of it. So when you forgive somebody, it doesn't mean you are condoning what they did. No. It means that you have handed over that debt to God. The same way we sin against God. And we say, God, forgive me my debt. You remember one of the prayers says, forgive us our debt, as we forgive those who are indebted to us. So when somebody hurts you, they are indebted to you. But when you forgive them, you hand over that debt. The same way God is going to take our own debt of sin. Our own debt. You say, God, the same way God is going to take it, you need to hand it over. You are not rubber stamping their evil behavior. No. You are just being smart. The Bible says, Romans 12:19, and I like it the way the Message Bible put it. The Message Bible says, don't insist on getting even. That's not for you to do. I will do the judging, says God. I will take care of it. Don't try to get even with the person. Okay, you slap me. You know, I slap you in return. You hurt me. I hurt you in return. Let's see who can hurt the most. That is not the way it works. Don't try to get even. Let God do the judging. He will take care of it. So that is the first misconception. If I forgive, will I not be condoning sin? No, 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 no. You will not be condoning their evil behavior or wrongdoing. No. You're just handing over the debt to God. Amen? Are we clear on that one? Are we clear on that one?
Yes.
Okay. Number two. I will never be able to forget what happened. So how can I forgive it? God did not call you to forget. Did he say, we forget all our sins as we forget the sins of those who offended us? Is that what he says? What did he say? He says, forgive as we forgive. He didn't say anything about forgetting. In fact, maybe sometimes it is nice that you don't forget. And I'll explain the reason. He says, God says, forgive. So the fact that you still remember doesn't mean that there's no point forgiving, because I'm still going to remember. No, we are not brain dead. Are we brain dead? Your brain is still functioning. Someone stole my bag yesterday. You stole. Today I will not remember. I will remember. I just will make up my mind and know what to do about it. That's all. So God did not say forget. The instruction is forgive. We start with where? Forgiveness. Forgiveness takes the sin out of the memory. When you forgive, when you remember it, there is no more sin. It's no longer gnawing you up on the inside. It's no longer biting you. So forgiveness takes the sting out of the memory. Forgiveness embraces healing, and it allows us to turn what the enemy meant for evil to good. Genesis 50 verse 20. Joseph was talking to his brothers. He says, as for you, you thought it for evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. You meant it for evil when you sold me to the Egyptians. You meant it for evil when you sold me out. But God meant it for good. Brethren, you can turn that thing, you can swing it around. So God has not said, don't remember. Joseph remembered what they did. Only that this time around, because he had forgiven them, the sin and the pain was no longer there when he remembered. So be like Joseph. So the first misconception, if I forgive, won't it feel like I am condoning what happened? The second misconception, I will never be able to forget what happened. So how can I forgive it? That's the second. We're going to move on to the third misconception. If I forgive them, do I have to trust them? In fact, the Bible doesn't say anything about trust. What does it say? It says, forgive as we forgive. It didn't say, when you trust other people, God will not trust you. No. The key word that is mentioned to us is forgive. So Sister Simone, someone comes and they steal your bag. Are you going to give them the key to your house? No. Even though you've forgiven them, will it make sense to give the key to their house? Sister Tayo, you told your secret. The secret that you are keeping since 1901. You told it to somebody. And then they published it on the BBC Radio. And then you say, okay, I have forgiven them. Because I have to trust them. So you tell your new secrets, you can tell them. This time I had, they will not put on BBC, they will put on CNN. No. The Bible only talks about forgive. Forgiveness is not earned. Say to your neighbor, say forgiveness is not earned.
Forgiveness is not earned.
Forgiveness is a debt I owe.
Forgiveness is a debt you owe.
Say for trust.
For trust
is earned.
Is earned.
Aha. There are two different things. So if you want me to give you the key to, if you want, thank you, Simona. You stole Simona's bag. If you want Simona to give you the key to her house, you are going to prove yourself trustworthy. Simona has forgiven you. But Simona, you said you forgive me now. Eh? So how come I think I don't have the key to your house? And I'm forgiving you for this time around, and I'm giving you for the first woman wisdom. Because I need to be able to get to a point where I can trust you with my hands again. The last time I gave you the key to my house, my bag disappeared. You said you are sorry, but I'm still suffering. So this time around, I am forgiving you, but I'm sorry. You will have to work on this trust. So forgiveness is not earned, but trust is earned. So forgiveness you are going to do. But to get to a place where you trust that person, they have to earn it. So don't let the devil stop you from forgiving because you can no longer trust this person. Trust is going to take time. Look at your neighbor. Say trust. Will take time.
And it has to be earned.
And it has to be earned.
You have to earn it. It's not free of charge. Praise the name of the Lord. Forgiveness is not the same as reconciliation. Reconciliation starts with forgiveness, but it goes beyond forgiveness. So someone has messed up, you forgive them. Reconciliation will take time. So work on it until reconciliation is fostered. And I'm going to, let me read this statement to you. But it's not necessary to seek reconciliation when the other person is unrepentant, unwilling, and unsafe for you. So this person is still not safe for you. This person is unrepentant. This person is unwilling. There's nowhere that talks about reconciliation under those circumstances. The person has got to earn your trust again. Because that's where sometimes as Christians, we put ourselves in harm's way. Somebody comes to you and says, please, lend me £100. I will pay it back to you in 5 days.
So they come to you, they lend you 100 pounds. In 5 days, you go to them and they say, sorry, I lost it. And I don't have to pay back it. Yes? So they owe you 100 pounds, they have to pay back. 2 months later, they come to you and they say, please, lend me 100 pounds. And I will pay it back to you in 5 days. If there is a smart question, what must you do? I you're willing to give them 100 pounds?
Really?
Really? I'm not asking for it again. But if it's going to be on the basis of I will pay it back to you, what do you do? You keep your 100 pounds inside your pocket. You understand? Because what you are going to do in that regard is going to be giving the person the opportunity to steal against you again. So you have the first issue that your secret will is not in your mind. You don't have 100 pounds. Your secret is 20 pounds. And now you have encouraged them by adding this second 100 pounds to it. So they see that that becomes true. And you learn that you now have issues. So try to forgive them. Because the sin has now built up. So there are two different things. If the person is unrepentant and they are unchanging, don't put yourself in that situation where they can do the same thing against you again. What God has said is forgive. Trust is earned. Number four. We are almost there. We're going to seven. Mm-hmm. Say number four.
Number four.
I don't feel like forgiving. Now, that's another misconception. If you are waiting for the new year, for the day you are going to feel like forgiving, you will wait until Jesus Christ comes. Because the pain that is inside you, but at least, will not want you to forgive. So if you are waiting for feeling, I don't feel like forgiving. So because I don't feel like forgiving, I won't forgive. So you are waiting for the feeling. If you are waiting for a feeling, you will be waiting a long time. So, forgiveness is a decision. Look at your neighbor and say, forgiveness is not what you feel like doing.
It's not what you feel like doing.
But it's a decision.
It's a decision.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Forgiveness is a choice.
Forgiveness is a choice.
Say, it's a decision. It's a choice. It is a process that may take time. Forgiveness rarely comes with feelings. Your feelings will even tell you when you forgive, you are weak. How can you allow them to walk over you like that? How can you allow them to walk over you? You're such a weak person. Can't you show them? Can't you show them you are the man? Can't you show them you are the woman? Show them the kind of thing. If you're waiting for feelings, your feelings will tell you. To forgive is weak. You are such a weakling. Eh? You mean she cursed you and you just shoot your back like that? Eh? And you didn't give it back? Eh? You mean, you better show them. No. If you are waiting for feelings, you will be waiting a long time. Forgiveness is a decision and is a choice. Forgiveness requires the act of your will. You just make up your mind, I am going to forgive. Because it is not about the other person. It's about you. Remember, the naked that the oyster builds around that little stone has entered in. If the oyster does not put that naked around it, that little thing will begin to eat from inside. Eat from inside. Eat until it devours that person. It is an act of obedience to God's will. So, how many misconceptions have we looked at?
Four.
So, let's go back to the beginning because I want to make sure you remember. Number one, if I forgive, won't it feel like I'm condoning what has happened? What is the answer?
No.
Number two, I will never be able to forget what happened. So, how can I forgive it? God didn't say anything about forgetting. He said about forgiving. Number three, if I forgive them, do I have to trust them?
No.
What do they have to do about their trust?
Yes.
They have to earn it. Number four, I don't feel like forgiving.
When will you feel like forgiving? Never. So it's not about your feeling. It's a decision. Number five. Do I just forgive the big things? So whether it's a small, whether it's medium size, whether it's large size, we must learn to forgive it. Forgiveness is a way of life. Whilst forgiving the big things are good, it is actually the day-to-day walking in forgiveness that protects us. The oyster is not going to wait for one gigantic stone to come. No. It is a little, little, little ones. Do you know what the Bible says?
It says it is a little forces that spoil the vine. Because sometimes the ones that you don't see, the little, little ones, someone hurts you a little bit today, you don't forgive. And then tomorrow they hurt you another little bit, you don't forgive. Before you know it, the little, little ones, you know what happens? You begin to build up. Build up, build up. So just make up your mind on a daily basis. Per second, as your offense is coming, it's meeting forgiveness, blah. Another offense is coming there, forgiveness, blah. Another one is coming from that angle, what do? You hit it with forgiveness. Because if you allow the thing to mount up, one day it will be so big, you will wonder whether the person is a monster. And the question they will ask you is that, how come you ended up with a monster? Because you have not learned the daily act of forgiveness. The little, little things, the tiny things. You said you are going to show up at 5 o'clock. Now it is 7 o'clock. You are just showing them. Okay, I forgive. Okay. Don't allow them to build up. Just let it go. Let it go. You said you are going to do this. You didn't do it. Okay, I forgive. Let it go. Don't let it mount up. Mount up. Because by the time it mounts up, it becomes Mount Everest. Forgiveness is like a pair of scissors, you know, that cuts you free from the pain of your past. Can someone give me a paper, please? Forgiveness, I thought I had one, but just any paper. From the preacher, don't miss. Forgiveness, just any paper, is like a scissor. Everybody say scissors. That cuts you free from the pain of your past. Okay, so this is where I am at the moment. Okay, hold as tightly as possible. So that's where I am. This is offense, and this is me. Okay, so everywhere I want to go, don't use the paper. Just follow actually, just follow. Just follow. So that is where I am. This is offense. Remember, I'm the offense. So everywhere I go, this lady here doesn't have a choice. Remember, I'm bigger than her. She doesn't have a choice. She has to keep follow. No, remember, you're big drama. You have to follow me. So this is offense. She wants to go. Go. What is happening? I am not going to let her go. So the only way, hold on to your feet, otherwise you fall down. The only way is to cut it. What is this scissors called? Forgiveness. So she wants to be free. I am dragging her along. The only thing I can do, or she can do, is to, in fact, I give her the scissors. To cut herself free from it. Don't worry, why would you jam her next time? So the only thing she can do, don't worry, you can still do it. Mm-hmm. The only thing she can do, you want the scissors, you want the cut paper.
Yeah,
okay, so I'm dragging you. I'm dragging you. Come on. Okay, use your right hand. Your right hand then. This drama school said, we have to go and do drama lessons. I'm dragging her. Why did you do that? I'm used to dragging you along with me. I'm used to dragging you. What did you do? You forgave. And what are you doing? You are free. Hallelujah. Thank you. God bless you. Don't worry. We'll do Papa Damas too. Now, what that may, thank you, my actress. What that may say, delay yourself.
Do you give what we do to ourselves? When you don't forgive, you have that drive. So, assuming Sophie wants to go to Tesco, and I don't feel like going to Tesco, what will happen? Is she going to go there? Mm-hmm. The only way she's going to end up in Tesco is if she takes a share of Caesar's and caught that thing as he signed her to me, the offense. Because I will not let her go. I will hold on to her. She says, I want to jump. Imagine, Sophie wants to jump with me, with my side. Look at my side. You won't be able to. I will be pulling. If she says she wants to get up and I press her down, she can't get up. So, when you don't forgive people, you know what you are doing? You are allowing offense to tie you. You want to make progress. You're wondering, God, I have been struggling all these years to make progress. To make progress, but I am not able to. What is happening? Maybe because you are carrying forgiveness around. So if you want to be free, take out your scissors of forgiveness and just snip it and give yourself freedom. There is no higher level where forgiveness stops being something you need to do. I have forgiven this much, and that's it. After that level, no more. No. You keep on doing it. It's not for the other person, it's for you. Number 6. I have forgiven everybody else, but I can't forgive myself. Can I tell you the good news or the bad news? The same damaging effect when you don't forgive others is the same damaging effect when you don't forgive yourself. I have forgiven others, but I can't forgive myself. I can't forgive myself. When you don't forgive yourself, it is the same effect. It doesn't matter who you need to forgive, whether it is others or yourself. If you don't forgive yourself, the damage is the same. And you know what is worse now? The damage is even worse now because you are both the perpetrator and the victim. Can you imagine? You are the one punishing yourself. So forgive yourself. If you've done something that you feel that, I shouldn't have done that, I shouldn't have said that, I shouldn't have behaved. Just, you know what? Forgive yourself. And number 7. What if I feel God has offended me? I'm not going to ask my show of hands. We may laugh about it, but there are people who feel that God has offended them. Yes. The people that feel that God has offended them. If you feel that God has offended them, maybe you feel that God has answered your prayers. Or you gave him 10 items in your shopping basket. I want us to rise up. You gave him 10 items in your shopping basket. And what was he thinking about that he could only give you one of them? Sister Tayo and I both presented 20 shopping requests. He gave Sister Tayo 20. He's only given me half of one. So I'm not angry with God. It is possible. If you are angry with God, what do you do? You go and tell God. God is man enough to handle your feelings. And when you open up to God about how you are feeling about him, you will allow him the opportunity to explain himself. If God has offended you, God can never offend a man. But if you feel that he's offended you, go and tell him. And give him the chance to explain himself. Give him the opportunity to tell you why you are where you are, or why X, Y, Z has happened, or why he's heard, or why he hasn't heard. Give him the opportunity. So bow down your head, and you're going to go before God. I don't know which one is your situation. I don't know. But trust me, God has laid this message on my heart from the start of this ministry. So I know that at least one person in this place that has an issue with forgiveness. I have examined myself, and I am still examining myself. I have examined myself, and I'm still examining myself. So that's you. Go before God and ask him for the grace to forgive. Maybe God offended you. Tell him, say, God, this is what I did. I know God cannot offend man because God is never wrong. But maybe that's how you feel. Just say it to him. And give him the chance to explain himself. Maybe somebody has offended you. Say, Lord, please help me to release the nature of forgiveness. I wish I had
you know, thought about it before, I would have asked you to bring your own scissors and, you know, just snap it. Or maybe I can even take these scissors around.